Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And we say with Peter, Heavenly Father, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus. You are the Lord God Almighty. And we thank you for all that you've done to give us salvation. In your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Was that not a blessing again from our choir? What a blessing. We're blessed. Thank you, Steve, Lori, and all the rest. Orchestra, if you have your Bibles this morning, find your place now in John chapter 3. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, we're honored to have you here today. May the Lord bless you. Please come by and say hello to myself, my wife Pat, others of us will be back in the back. We'd love to meet you as you're here today. And we're honored if you're a guest, and we're honored to have you at First Baptist Church. These days, we are talking about the most important of truths, the most important of themes. We call it saved, saved, saved. We're looking at salvation in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved? Well, I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 3, verse number 16, probably the most famous verse in all of the Bible, or at least one of them. I'm also going to ask you to turn to, before we stand for our Bible reading, if you have your copy of God's Word, find the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, and I'd like for you to keep your finger here in John 3, and I'd like for you to turn also to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11, Ezekiel 33, 11. Now let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word, and we read together. I'm going to begin reading from the Lord's words as he spoke to Nicodemus, the religious leader, in John 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then we read also, as I have it for you on the screen, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And then we read in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 11. Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. This is God's call through the prophet Ezekiel in his preaching. As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? Heavenly Father, we pray that you might now bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning, John chapter 3, verse number 16, the most famous, greatest promise in all the Bible. However, it is the greatest passage of warning in all the Bible. These days we're talking about salvation in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved? The old song, life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. That song only means something to you if you understand, as we talked about last week, that salvation is the freedom and release. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, it is the freedom and release of our sin debt to God. Hallelujah, what a wonderful thing. But in order to understand salvation, we must understand also, sadly, what it means not to be saved. So today, in talking about saved, 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 we must today talk about a very important subject, one that matters to every single person in here, not only for yourself, but for your family and your friends and for pure strangers you run into. Everybody on the planet, this matters what we talk about today. So the question we have today, we've been answering some questions during these days. What happens to the unsaved when they die? Well, the answer, the focal truth, comes from John 3:16. Though we don't often read it this way, the unsaved after death suffer eternal destruction in hell. I take no delight in these words which I speak to you today, but they are the truth of God's word. Whether you believe them or not doesn't matter to me. It only matters that these are the words, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can decide if the Lord Jesus knows more about these things than you or someone else you've counted on to assure you of something else about what happens after you die. You see, everybody here is going to die, but then something's going to happen. Well, a man said to me one time, life here's all there is. When I die, it's just like a dog dying. I'm just going to go back to the ground. Really? Who told you that? How do you know that? Who gave you that information? That's not what the Lord Jesus, who came from heaven to earth and spoke to us the words of life, told us. You see, every one of us, you're going to die, but then something's going to happen. What happens to you after you die? Well, you see, after we die, we either have eternal life or, sadly, what I must talk about today, I'm trying to sound the alarm. Like an alarm clock, I'm trying to wake up some sleepy saints who've become so enamored with the world and all of our little things we keep our time on. We have forgotten about eternity. That's what will be longer than your life. Eternity. The unsaved in eternity suffer eternal destruction in hell. So we learn several observations from this passage in John 3:16. I'm reading it a different way in order to help you understand both sides of this wonderful truth. Number one observation, whoever does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ eternally perishes. So we read these words, John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. There is the opposite side. Whoever does not believe perishes. Or whoever does not believe shall perish. What does the word perish mean, Pastor Mike? Well, you remember we read from an English Bible translated from the Greek language. The word perish means to be destroyed. It means complete ruin. Destruction is the word. Whoever believes in him will not be destroyed. Let's go back and look at this for a moment about belief. So look at the urgency in John chapter 3. Quickly, I run through this. Verse 3, John 3:3. Jesus said, first of all, truly, truly. When Jesus said truly, truly, your Bible may read verily, verily. The word is amen, amen. This is the fact of all facts is what Jesus is saying. You can count on this as certain truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, religious man, Nicodemus, listen to these words. I plead with you today, listen to me. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see heaven. He goes on in verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless, this is the urgency, unless you must. One is born of water and spirit. That is, you're born again by the Spirit of God and washed and clean. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter heaven unless you're born again. He goes on to say in verse 7, don't be surprised that I say to you, Mr. Religious Man, you must be born again. There's a necessity of the new birth. Being born again is to be saved. Why would Jesus say this? Because if you're not saved, there's another reality that you face. Verse 11, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen. You do not accept our testimony. You see, the Lord Jesus stood there speaking with people and preaching, and they didn't even listen to what Jesus said when he was in his flesh. This world's filled with people who don't believe what Jesus said. He goes on to say in verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who's descended. Let me tell you, you're reading the red letter words in your Bible of the only one given by God who's been sent to this world, very God himself in flesh, who's telling you the truth about eternity and how to be saved and the danger of being unsaved or lost. You see, only the Son of Man has descended. And then he goes on. Look at this. How many times does he have to say it? Verse 15. Whoever believes will in him have eternal life. 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What did John, as we saw a few weeks ago, what did John the Baptist preach in his final sermon, which is recorded here in John 3? Verse number 36, I call your attention to it. Here are the words of John the Baptist. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But hear the rest of what he says. This is what I focus on today. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, here's the facts. I've given you three things to think about, to consider. This word to perish is a very important word. Why? Those who are without Jesus Christ today, the unsaved, those who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins, are perishing while they're living. They're spiritually dead and they're perishing. They may look like they're having a good time. They may think that everything's wonderful. They may be fooled themselves. But we learn from the Word of God, the unsaved are perishing while they're living in their sin. Paul says it this way, 1 Corinthians 1:18, the word of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing. You're not going to come in here and listen to some preacher preach. 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You have friends, you have neighbors who in this world do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and are perishing. The unsaved are perishing while they ignore the call to repent. What did the Lord Jesus, he couldn't have said this any plainer. I'm the preacher speaking on behalf of these words from the Lord. Hear them. Luke 13:3, unless, here it is again, unless you repent, you will perish. This is the message of the Lord Jesus. This is the message of one sent from God. From heaven to earth. What is it that he would try to say to us? This is the message. You're either living because you believed in Jesus or you're perishing. The unsaved are perishing. My dear friends, my dear Christian friends, those who do not know Jesus Christ, who are unsaved, the young to the old, the unsaved are perishing and headed for eternal destruction. When they die, what did the Lord say? Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate. You've got to find the narrow gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to find it and you've got to enter into it. It's your only hope. Find the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad. Lots of room that leads to destruction, and many, many enter through it. I want to remind you today that just as sure as we sing and rejoice in the reality of heaven and all of the millions that sing and rejoice and glorify God this very moment, the Lord Jesus in his ascension there seated in glory in a place we cannot describe, a real place beyond time and space. There is another place as real as heaven, and it's called hell. And millions upon millions of people are in that place eternally suffering. Does that matter to the church? Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever does not believe in him, doesn't matter how much money they have, doesn't matter how smart they are, how good and popular they may be, doesn't matter whether they're young or old, they perish. God wishes that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Ezekiel 33, the gospel of Ezekiel. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says God. But rather that wicked men would turn from their ways and live. This is God speaking. Turn back. Turn back. Turn back. I want you to see, secondly, this very important truth that those who perish after they die will suffer the eternity of hell. I call your attention to Mark chapter 8. I take no delight in these words. There's not anything in me that says, yeah, see, you get what you get, you sinners. I have none of that in me. If you do, shame on you. Who are you to consider yourself better than any other sinner? The Lord's words are very clear. They're very strong. He says to us, and I'll read these words, you can follow or you can just listen, Mark chapter 9. He says this, verse 43, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. You remember we talked about this. This is what you do. You kill sin before sin kills you. If you're saved and you know the Lord, every day you crucify your flesh because it'll come back. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than having two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. I must pause here. Gehenna, as the Lord says. If we read this, he says something that everybody who heard him knew exactly what it was. He gave them a living picture. Those who are around Jerusalem knew Gehenna. This word that your Bible translates hell is the word Gehenna. Gehenna was always a fire, always filled with smoke. It was the garbage dump of Jerusalem. There were worms gnawing at all the rot. There was the stinking stench of death and flesh. The poor who had no one to bury them, they were thrown out there. Smoke and worms and fire. He says in verse 45, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame, are you listening, than having two feet to be cast into hell. That's the violence of going to hell. You see, unbelief determines that hell will be my destiny. If I refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it away from you. Verse 47, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast, thrown into hell. Thrown there where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Oh, Pastor Mike, we're educated people. Surely you are an educated person. Yes, and I believe every single word I'm saying to you today. And if you believe it, it'll change the way you live. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, to those who choose not to obey the gospel and die in their sins, they will pay the penalty, are you listening, of eternal destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. The Lord Jesus said in one of the judgments of the nations that will come in Matthew 25, they will go away, this is the Lord Jesus, to eternal punishment. Punishment that doesn't end. It's eternal. Mark 9:43, they go to hell in this unquenchable fire. Eternal destruction. A worm never dies. The fire never goes out. Eternal punishment, unquenchable fire. You see, hell is endless. Hell is eternal. As one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. The eternity of hell. People are in hell today. Forever. There are no exits out of hell. If you want to go home and improve your walk with God and recognize the urgency of this, just go home and think about someone you know who died without Christ and now will suffer in hell forever. Go home and think about it. Endless. Endless punishment. Eternal, endless misery. Whoever does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ suffers eternal punishment. You see, man's greatest responsibility is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be responsible? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next observation goes with this. I have to stay with this. I take no pleasure in these words, but I must preach the truth of God's word. Those who perish will suffer not only eternally. You just go home and think about that for a while. You see, some of us won't want to. You'll turn away from it. You'll say, I can't think. That's too hard to think about. Oh, but it's real. It's the truth of God's word. It's the truth of the Lord Jesus who came from heaven. Those who perish will suffer the eternal pain of hell. There is eternal pain in hell. I turn now to Luke chapter 16, and the Lord Jesus says this. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. This was the Jewish way to talk about paradise, heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The poor man was carried by the angels, and the rich man was buried and lifted up his eyes in hell, in torment. Real pain. Oh, I'm just going to die and like a dog go back to the dirt. Who told you that? The Lord Jesus said there's life after you die, and you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Conscious pain of loss. We have it here in this story the Lord tells about this rich man. He cries out, verse 24, have mercy on me, come take your finger, and have Lazarus come take his finger, just dip it and touch my tongue. I'm in agony in this flame. It's torture, it's agony. The conscious pain of loss when you go to hell There's no more preaching. There's no more Bibles. There's no more church. When you go to hell, there's no more pleasures. There's no more profits. There's no more comforts. There's no more honors. It's all gone. Conscious pain of loss. No grace, no mercy, no forgiveness, no end. No end to the pain of loss. And oh, how God's people suffer in this world and yet carried by the angels, but this other buried and in hell. Conscious pain of the senses all through the teachings of the Lord Jesus. He reminds us that hell has real pain. Don't you go away from this place thinking it's some fabrication, exaggeration. These are real words. The Lord Jesus says it's intolerable pain. I just read it. He lifted up his eyes in torment to see those in heaven but never experience the glory of it. Intolerable pain. You think your pain is difficult when you're sick. There is no pain like the pain of hell. Unceasing pain. He cried out, I'm in agony. Send me, give me some water. I'm in agony. Unceasing pain, intolerable pain, hopeless pain. The Lord says in another place of those who are being judged, he says, and sent to hell, Matthew 13, 42, in the furnace, there will be weeping. There's no singing. There's weeping. There's crying. There's agony. While the glory of heaven goes on, glory to God and praise to the Lamb of God. Holy, holy, holy. There is agony, unending agony and torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth, angry pain. And pain and fear being thrown out in utter darkness, bind him hand and foot, Matthew 22, 13, and throw him into the outer darkness. There are people today in hell, and others will die today. The vast majority of people on this planet today will die without knowing Jesus Christ and go to an eternal hell because they chose not to believe in Jesus, but to live their life the way they want. How foolish it would be for a man to say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. But boy, at the end, you know, God's going to wink, kind of wink and smile and say, oh, go, you know, come on, I'm just joking. I'll let a few of you in. No. No. Your unbelief sends you to hell. When you refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him all the days of your life. I say to you, I'm saying it over and over, just as heaven is filled today, hell is filling up every day with those who will not believe. Does it even bother us? Or are you just ready to go to lunch? Does it really matter? You're just glad you're saved and your little few. How can you be so cruel? How can you be so heartless? You see, the final thing I'm going to say to you is this, that those who perish will experience the reality of hell. Those in hell know it's real. It's all of us who sit around and try to explain away the Lord Jesus' words. It's been going on for a long time. Happens even in the church. Some of you are going to get offended, say, well, you know, I'm not going to come back up there. Pastor Mike, he's just out of his mind. He's up there talking about craziness, torments, and hell. I'm sorry if you get mad, then may the Lord bless you. I'm not going to change my preaching. You better go home and think about what you believe. For I have five brothers. We're back to talking about a lost man in hell. Begging, begging. Now the reality of hell has set in. I beg you. You see, there's a gulf, he says, separating us. We can't come to you in hell. You can't come to us in heaven. And the man says, I beg you. There's a lot of begging going on in hell. When there should have been begging for mercy in this life, to have mercy on me as a sinner. No, not the proud sinner. I'll do whatever I want. Hey, I'm going out to do what I want to do. Will you? One day your doing what you want to do will end. He's begging in hell. And all the begging does no good. There's no mercy in hell. He begs and says, I have five brothers. Now he's starting to think about his family. I have five brothers. In order that they may be warned, send Lazarus so that they may not come to this excuse me, place of torment. Whoever does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ eternally perishes. Those who perish will suffer the eternity of hell. There are no exits from hell. There's no end to it. Those who perish will suffer the eternal pains of hell, and they will perish with the reality. You see, the eternal awareness is here, but there's also a sentence. Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The word sentence, the old preachers called it damnation, but that's a little unpopular. What are we going to do in our cultured little world today? It might offend someone. Well, I'm sure you've been offended today, so praise God. Damnation. Well, let's see. Lost sinner, you did all of these things. Like the fellow said, well, you know, Pastor Mike, I'm just going to hedge my bets. I'm just going to chance it that if I'm a good person, God will give me a break. No breaks. Let's check the books. Is his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has he ever believed in the Lord Jesus? No, it's not there. I'm going to read it again. If anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Today, the promise of John 3:16, my feeble attempt to preach to you the cross of Christ, the entire gospel, the church's work, we all try to stand in the way to step out and say to you, please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. It's such an interesting thing when you sit with a family that truly knows that they have a loved one. This happens all the time in ministry. You prepare with a family for a funeral. But the person that you're planning the funeral for, everybody really knows. They didn't care anything about God, any of their life. But we got to make something up. Because otherwise we'd have to say, my loved one's gone to hell. Do you have loved ones in hell? They're there today and they suffer forever. Do you have friends who've gone to hell? They're there and they suffer forever. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. God says, I say to you, turn, turn. Ezekiel 33, turn, turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die? Why will you die, my friend? Why will you go to hell? Is your little fun games and fun activities and self-centeredness and self-righteousness worth it? So as we close, I have these things for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved or perish if you do not believe. Fear God who sends unbelievers to hell. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, don't fear people who kill the body. Fear him. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Fear him who not only can kill the body, but send the soul to hell. The Lord wishes that none should perish. But every day people say no to God, rebel and want to do what they want to do, and refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus and repent of sin, and they go to hell. Think about your loved ones. And maybe there ought to be more pleading. Maybe more Christians ought to be pleading with our family members and friends to believe in the Lord Jesus before it's too late. Oh, Pastor Mo, what would they think about me? I don't know. What will they think about you when they're in hell? Does it matter? I say to the cynic and the unbelieving person who hears all of this, and you smile and grin and say, okay, you don't want to believe it, but I'm going to say this to you as we finish. What if this is true? What if you're wrong? And what if you spend your entire life in self-centeredness and sin and you wake up in hell? Well, you've been warned. You've heard the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.